Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. As very often I begin with getting real heroic humility coming from hummus, the ground of truth of where you're at. Do you ever find yourself being a good husband for days? You know, maybe you grind out a week or so after big bad argument. You get your shit together, but you slide back the same shit different day. And if you're struggling to answer yes to that, if I answered your queen, what would she answer? Do you ever struggle with consistency in habits you know make you feel better in yourself, in your body? And I would say they make you easier to be with. Do you ever struggle with consistency with those habits? Do you ever get stuck in a mood and some part of you inside knows you're being a bit of a jackass, but you struggle to drag yourself out of it? With your queen, with your kids, you know, those, I'm having a bad day, I'm in a mood, and I'm just going to let the world around me know it. But, and you know you're there, but you just can't find the power to snap out of it. Of course, 10,000 guys in the room, a million husbands in the room, a lot of hands going up, and if the hands don't go up saying yes, I'm like, you know, there's always that, if you got your queen on the phone, dude, and I set the same questions to her about you, you know, what would our answers be? If we're being honest, like, almost every single one of us are answering yes. I'm definitely these answers. I mean, yes, 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 for years. Getting better, a lot done, more to do. And that's actually a part of this episode, is a deep personal experience I've had recently. This episode is about creating a game, really gamifying your approach to marriage in a way that will be astoundingly effective, if you lean into the game, astoundingly effective to support you actually reach that, you know, the promised land, the next level. You want to be a better husband. That's why you're listening in here. This is an awkward podcast to listen to. It's awkward because we get real, we talk about stuff, the conversation is about stuff that, hey, you know, dudes drinking a couple of beers at a barbecue, dudes don't talk about this stuff. Every man wants to talk about this stuff, but it's the type of stuff we don't talk about. So if you're willing to lean in, if you're really listening in because you're intending to be a better husband, which clearly, why the fuck else are you listening in? You're not listening in to hear like the sports news or any, you know, it's like gossip or any shit like that. It's to be a better fucking husband. To be the husband she brags about. This is an astoundingly powerful episode to support you on that path. But let's talk about what I'm going to call the husband hypocrisy problem. In many aspects of our lives, we practice a low tolerance to our own moodiness, a low tolerance to our own bullshit, and a low tolerance to, yeah, just that gnarly cunt part of ourselves. And thus we have high standards. Let's think about this. You know, in business, we all will have that grumpy arsehole part where, you know, those moments when you're in a mood, you didn't sleep well the night before, you've young kids, you have, I don't know, there's some back pain that you have, there's financial pressures, there's, you're tending to your sick mother-in-law, your own dad, whatever. There's stuff that's pressurizing your nervous system, so you're feeling under pressure, or you're just in a mood. You just woke up wrong side of the bed, all of this. So that's part of the human condition. That stuff happens. Of course, part of the game is to support you, making sure that you do whatever is necessary to support your nervous system, actually be grounded, actually be feeling good. But that's part of the human condition. You'll have these moments. We'll have these days. But if you're a business person, You know, when you're there with your most important client, this client is like 30, 40% of your receipts that go out. They're going to this person. This person has a lot of clout. When you have that bit of a niggly back pain, you're not going to be a grumpy arsehole with that person. You're not going to have a low, or sorry, it's you're not going to have a high tolerance to your bullshit. Oh, I'm just grumpy, you know, and you don't say please, you don't say thank you. No, you're going to have a really low tolerance to your bullshit flowing through, because why? That person the far side of that table, the far side of the phone, that person that you're emailing, you're going to be sweet as pie. You're going to be respectful. You're only going to express gratitude. You're going to compliment them for whatever. You're going to remember that, you know, it's the last meeting. Oh, their 25th wedding anniversary is coming up. Oh, hey man, you know, like, you know, congrats again for the 25th wedding anniversary. You know, so inspiring. Like, what an achievement. Blah 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 blah. Yeah, looking forward to the next business meetup, because you're gonna put like a whatever thousand proposal in front of them, and there's a good chance it's coming back. Why? You know, we do it. We have a low tolerance for our own moodiness, and we keep high standards in business. Think about driving. You know, do you have a high tolerance to your own moodiness, your own distractedness, your own lack of presence in driving? Well, if you ever did have that, you know, I hope it hasn't happened for you, but you really pay the price. There's really tough consequences for having a high level of tolerance to your lack of presence, your moodiness, to I'm distracted, I'm having a bad day, so I'm just not really fully here, guys. Not a good idea. You will have a low tolerance to your own distractibility, your own lack of presence, your own fucking moody bitch shit when you're driving. It's. You'll keep as high as standards. Now, of course, if you're not owning stuff, you probably don't have as high as standards. But in driving, you'll get the job done. And, you know, you won't slam into a fucking car next to you, or, you know, as much as possible. There's more of that balance of a low tolerance, because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want to get caught with the speeding fine. You don't want to be up in court for, you know, fucking drunk driving, taking drugs and driving, abusive, shouting shit at people, road rage. So you have a low tolerance with your own moodiness, your own lack of presence, irritability, distractibility. Thus, you keep high standards. Think with friends, your neighbors, you know, again, whatever, you're having one of those days, you know, you don't meet your mate Steve and, you know, you're on the way home from work, and Steve rings, and hey, Steve, like, you're curt with him. Steve, yeah, whatever, man. And then you hang up, like, you know, you don't. Hey, Steve, man, how are you doing? Yeah, man, I'll be over. Yeah, I'll be over. Let's meet up later on. Blah 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 blah. You're just having after having an Antichrist whore bag. That's a real slang Irish way of saying an Antichrist whore bag day. You had a really tough day, you're having one of those, you have the ache in your back, but it's Steve on the phone, you know, like, you bring your best game to Steve, because why? It's Steve, it's a friend. You know that Steve, if you just like unleash your undealt with crap, and Steve would be like, man, that's just unfucking cool. And Steve will talk to your other mates going, jeez, you know, Mark called me the other day. Fuck, what a fucking asshole. Like, jeez, has he done that to you? Fuck him. You know, and then the next time you're having a couple of buds at the barbecue, Steve and the guys go, dude, the fuck? Or worse, to just like slowly but surely go, you know, that Mark dude is a grumpy asshole. Like, and they just slowly but surely just don't really want to hang out with you anymore. There's consequences. So we have this low tolerance to our own crap coming through us, and to maintain high standards. Why? Because we don't want to suffer negative consequences with Steve, negative consequences with our, you know, the customers at work, or your boss at work, your colleagues at work. You don't want to have the negative consequences of Jesus, we just don't want to do anything with him, because why? Negative consequences. So we have this self-preserving social safety thing that we do, low tolerance, of run bullshit to keep relative high standards or exceptionally high standards. Now, the husband hypocrisy problem is at home. We drop the low tolerance with our own bullshit and we have a relatively high tolerance of our own bullshit. And some of you, if you're like me several years ago, you'd have a really high tolerance of your own bullshit. And thus, you have low standards. There is this relationship between tolerance and standards. Low tolerance to your bullshit, you have really high standards. High tolerance to your crap, you've really low standards. And low standards in what? Ultimately in life. But let's bring it into marriage. You know, through righteousness, you get stuck in moods. Emotional resistance, also known as generalized grumpy arsehole moods. You know, why? Why do we have this different way of relating with tolerance and standards at home? Ultimately, and it's really sad, it's a tragedy of modern society, but we don't fear the consequences. You know, there's this idea subconsciously that drives our behavior that, you know, we'll be fine tomorrow. Like, ultimately, it's like, well, I go to bed with her tonight, we'll be up tomorrow, you know, like we'll dust down, we'll get on. Why? Because that's how it goes. I go through these cycles, I'm a grumpy arsehole, we have an argument, whatever, and you'll have a couple of days of frostiness, but, you know, the iceberg melts, I mean, it's fine. There's no in-your-fucking-face consequences that really makes us feel the emotional sting, and we learn that, hey, the emotional sting, well, you know, we just ride it out, but the real consequences, like with your mate or your neighbour, be a real grumpy arsehole with your neighbour, the neighbour talks with people, like, you don't want to suffer those consequences. There's tons of different reasons why we don't fear these consequences, or we don't take these consequences as being real with our queens. And, you know, the astounding hypocrisy in all of this is we leave our queens in a position where, you know, they bring their feedback to us. We see it as criticism. Oh, she's nagging. And, oh, Jesus, are you talking about this again? And then we do the thing, like I said in the beginning. It's like, oh, we snap into good husband mode for a few days, maybe a couple of weeks if we're lucky. But we slip back. We leave our queens with no other option than to be one of the 70 to 90% of divorces are filed for by wives. They're left with this option of, geez, when is he going to grow up? You know, queens or wives use this language. When is he going to grow up? God's sake, you know, like, get his shit together. Every single queen out there, there's a whole social conditioning that queens or wives need to be this supportive, sedated, good wife, good mother. Tick all the boxes, you know, as they're meant to remain sexually attractive, you know, fit and good looking, omnipresent, and they're like, it's a social shame if they ever complain about their husband, if they ever get, it's like, what? They feel guilty giving you feedback. It's astounding. It's this profoundly sick society. So that's the husband hypocrisy problem. Our queens know full well we don't let that ache in our back, the financial pressures, the shit that you're dealing with, you know, in-house. You don't let that pressure that your nervous system is experiencing flood out with these other people, because they know, God damn, he's like such a fucking sweet as pie dude with boss, with the client, with Steve, with his... poor Steve. He's not that with the neighbor, and yet once he comes in the door after the nice hello, bright hello, you know, 5 minutes of lovely chat to the neighbor, in he comes home and he's grumpy and he takes it out on us, not like on me and on the kids, and then we have to deal with this. It's astounding, and I really want to set the challenge to us as a generation of men. Beyond the profoundly sick society, the social conditioning, all the social restructuring that has happened in the last century and a half that has created conditioning that divides, that pitches men against women, women against men, and like we're playing out real horrible conditioning, social conditioning, millions, billions of social cues subconsciously conditioning us to be irritated with each other. We need to, as a generation of men, really see the game for what it is and set the challenge to ourselves, I believe individually and collectively, to usher in a new standard. A new standard of what it is to be a man, a new standard of what it is to be a husband, a new standard so that not only our queens get to realize in this marriage, in this lifetime, wow, fucking wow, that's what was latent within you. That's the man I fell in love with. That's the potential. They fall in love with this incredible potential. It's a fucking danger zone for women to psychologically fall in love and, you know, the project. You know, it's like they'll parent you into being a man. It's like, oh, it's like, it happens. Whether they want it or not, if we're floating around being like, playing this high tolerance with our own bullshit, that's boyhood. It's really, it's based on, you know, and this gets into the dark shadow we're really dealing with. This is really important. This has massive consequences for your marriage. The dark shadow we're really dealing with and what this whole game is set up to help you tame is the dark shadow of entitlement. Our conditioning in this profoundly sick society is that we are entitled. We are entitled to show up whatever way we do with our queen, and we're entitled to do that. She should still come back and love us. She should still forgive us unconditionally. She should still be there because why? She's a wife. You know, she's meant to. You know, she's not meant to be selfish, be so self-centered to actually give us consequences. She, like, we feel entitled to have whatever shitty inner world experience, and she should be the doormat. She should be the one that holds space for it. She should be the one that, you know, if we're grumpy for 2 hours in the evening, she should see and know that you're under pressure at work and you're doing your best, and she should see. You know, there's a lot of shoulds. Should is one of the cognitive distortions from cognitive behavioral therapy. It's like, she should. Entitlement and touch base with yourself. Is there a part of you that projects a judgment towards your queen of like, well, she should just be more understanding. She should see that I'm having a hard day and that's why I'm late home at work, and she should be more compassionate. She should be more curious about how the fuck my day was before she lights on me, blah, 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 blah. Like, okay, are you entitled to that? Well, it comes from entitlement. You know, whether you feel entitled to it or not, how's it working out for you in your marriage, your perspective? You wouldn't be listening in here. We wouldn't be needing to do this work if it was working out perfectly for you. You know, it's the ground of truth of where you're at. The dark shadow of entitlement, why this is so important is the default in our nervous systems from this social conditioning means that our default nervous system mode is not a good system to rely upon to hold us to a high account with our queens. Shadow work is about placing the spotlight on parts of your mind, parts of how your nervous system works, and accepting it as it is. It's really important to go, yeah, wow, there is a part that feels entitled, there is a part, and that entitlement comes through in a real practical way. You can see it in your nervous system when you're in grumpy arsehole mode and you feel right. There's a part that feels, it's like rationalized righteousness is what I call it. You just feel so right that you can just keep arguing with your queen and feel aghast that she'd give out to you. Like, and you take her feedback as criticism, you take it personal, and you feel that you're entitled to get into a huff and a mood, and then stonewaller. 80 to 90% of stonewalling in marriage happens through the husband. Uninitiated men still conditioned with full entitlement are still conditioned with full entitlement, son mother style. Now, ask 1,000 wives. You know, I've pointed to this earlier on. But as a reminder, if you ask 1,000 wives, does your husband regularly display what seems to you as being a boy-like level of maturity? Oh, guys, I wonder how many hands of 1,000 women are going to go up. You're probably going to see 2,000 hands because they'll have both hands up. Some of them taking shoes off. I want to put my foot up because I just need to take this moment in time to feel validated as a modern wife. We can be disgruntled all we want about, you know, the jokes, wives. You'll hear it quite often. It's like, oh, you know, it's like I've got 3 kids at home and everybody there knows you've actually got 2 children. But she's pointing to, you know, her husband as well. Ha 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 ha. It's like a tragedy. But it's true. It's true. They're calling it for what it is. Our lack of emotional maturity. Now, this is not to take a crap on ourselves as men. Profoundly Sick Society, we're not responsible for the environment growing up that indoctrinated us to disconnect from our emotionality, from our bodies, from the capacity to be in intimate relationships. We're not responsible for that. But we are responsible for showing up now and doing whatever is necessary in our nervous system. And I talk about your nervous system and your mind. Why is that so important to focus? Because your entire marriage experience is created from the inside out. Have you found that giving out about your wife on the outside, giving out about your kids, giving out about what's happening, you know, trying to change all around you so you can feel happy, doesn't fucking work? It's a boy mode. Hey, I'll give out about the world until it changes to be non-stop pleasing to me. It just doesn't work. So getting real here, the heroic husband, high standards game. There is that context needed to know why it's so important to play it. You're dealing with a shadow of entitlement. The default mode in your nervous system ain't something to rely upon. The heroic husband's high standards game. I'm going to share a personal story from recently that will give some context to the how I started using this game in my personal life. I had played a game previously where it was like I'd start counting the consecutive days in a row. This is back in the last 3, 4, 5 years, at different periods. I remember just playfully going, hey baby, you know, I want to actually be a better husband. I want to feel better, show up better for you, for the girls. So what I'm going to do is like, I want to count the consecutive days in a row. And it was very loose and it was cool. And I get to 6 days and then, oh, grumpy day. And it's, oh, I'm back to zero. And, you know, with Matilda's feedback, my own feedback is like, oh shit, you know, like at the end of the day, it's like, I'd get her to rate it. And we'd be like, oh, hey, no, that's I can't let let today be another day of, you know, feeling good or being a good husband. So I'd go back to zero. And it worked. It actually was like this loose, flexible game. And my queen liked it. I found it useful. And hey, it sort of would, I'd write out, I'd do it for a tight amount of days, a couple of weeks. And, you know, it worked. It would snap me out of like a bad pattern. But the thing is, I dropped it. So I can literally say it was 19 days ago. It's 18 days ago. I was on a road trip with my beautiful queen, and I love road trips with my queen. You know, those where we have like an hour and a half, 2 hours of in the car. The girls are behind, they're listening to music, reading books, whatever. And it's like, it's just that in a busy household, we homeschool the girls, so even during the day, you know, it's like the girls around, it's beautiful, it's amazing. But road trips for myself and Matilda, I don't know if you've had that experience. I love them because I get like an hour and a half, 2 hours. We're talking. We're conversing. There's no distraction. We're not doing anything else. I find they're really cool. So I was in the part of the road trip where I'm after having a double espresso. And I don't know about you, maybe you drink a lot of coffee. I'm like a 1 coffee per day guy. So a double espresso gets me high as a kite. So we're having this conversation, and I don't know, was it myself that brought it up, my queen that brought it up? It's like, oh yeah, you remember you did that thing before, and it's like you'd set the challenge, and you'd start counting the consecutive games, and one thing led to another, and again, I'm on the coffee high, so I'm into the infinite realms of possibility. I'm like, yeah, let's go. Ultra confidence is just my natural state of being. I will never be taken down from this peak human experience. This is my permanent state of being. You know, it's like that ultimate confidence. Coffee-fueled confidence. Nothing like it. It's brilliant. So my queen, she goes, yeah, do you know what you should do with that game? To really add like some edge to it, she's like, count the consecutive days. It came from that day. I was like, baby, we went through. There was a stressful period. There was shit happening, and I really was like, hey, let's go on a day trip today. We'll go off, have some nice food, bit of retail therapy. There was a few things we needed to get. We'll walk around town that we love. That's a couple of hours away from us. So I was like, let's set this as a high vibrational day. Baby, the intention here, I personally am setting this. I am going to be high vibrational. High vibrational, guys, is an emotional thing. Don't know if you're into law of attraction, stuff like that. High vibration, it's like coming from Nikola Tesla. If you want to know to unlock the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So I was like, the intention, high vibrational. I'm going to be enthusiastic, playful, on form. So she was enjoying this, and she was enjoying it so much, she was like, let's bring back that game that you were playing before, but let's put a twist in it, Mark. She's like, today is day number one of high vibration. It's like, you're nailing it. This is really fun. It's great to be with you. But you count them one after another and after another. And if you slip up for a day, you don't go back to zero. You go back to minus the number of consecutive days you've successfully gotten to. So, you know, you get to day 7 and you screw up day 8, you go back to minus 7. So you've got to do double the work to get back to where you've screwed up. Guys, I'm in coffee high mode. I'm like, yeah, wicked, you know, next level shit. That's black belt. You know, there's this egoic part of me, youngest of 3 brothers. I'm constantly trying to outwork the world. Same shadow, Michael Jordan, his younger brother. You know, it's like this inadequacy. So the bigger, the more spectacular, the cooler it is. Like my ego can go there. It's like, oh, I'll be the coolest guy in the movement. I'm the podcast guy. You know, let's fucking go. You know, man, this is like fucking epic. So I'm there. She's smiling. I'm like, yeah, that's fucking great. So day one today, like, you know, it's like, and then I don't know, you know, it's like, that was, we had the day, I was getting to the second half, I was on the drive home, and, you know, I was noticing this edge behind, I was like, wow, this feeling like a bit weird, like, what's happening, and I noticed, like, wow, this game, the level of commitment, I mean, it's okay, what, like, I get to day 5, and I go back to minus 5, fuck, like, whatever about that, but what happens if I get to, like, day 100, and I'm going back to minus 100? I'm getting really, there's an anxiety in me, guys. There's an edge. I'm like, fuck, I've got all of these tools. I know how to do this, but like this level of commitment, fuck. And I shared that with my queen and she was smiling. She's like, yeah, you should be scared. And outside of the coffee high, I landed in with it. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm genuinely going to fucking do this. Cut a long story short, I'm on day 18, or it's day 19, I've 18 successful days behind me. I'm day 19 now. When I lock 19 in, and it has been amazing. The game setup that I'm going to talk to you is how I've set this up formally with my queen. I'm really, like, my queen's feedback has been in the last couple of days, like, Mark, you've never been this consistent. You've never been this responsive and in attunement with me, with the girls. You're safe to be around, you're in good form, and it's like, hey, those couple of moments when you're just a little bit off, god, you repair it like within a nanosecond. And I know it, guys. So this has been a supreme tightening up and sharpening up of my own game. In the last 18 days, it's like I feel I've expanded way more in business, in mindset, in happiness, in health. It's really astounding. So coming from that personal perspective, here is the Heroic Husband High Standards game and the setup of it. I did an episode before about the difference between finite games and infinite games. And in that episode, it comes from gaming theory. Finite games, which are pretty much all sporting games and business realms, is predominantly set up around finite games. You have three components. One is known players. Two are fixed rules. Three, there's an agreed upon objective and endpoint. Think of any sporting game. Soccer, football, that's what I'd be associated with. American football, baseball, you know, like any sporting thing, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And probably if you take it into business, like there's certain, there's known players, you and your customer, you know, the fixed rules, trade rules in games, but fixed rules in sporting, it's really clear. It's very defined limits about what's allowed within the rules. And then outside of that, you've broken the rules, and then an agreed upon objective and endpoint. So the Heroic Husband High Standards game, the known players, well, it's clear. It's you and your queen. I would say bring in your kids on this. This is an overall household thing, and I'm keeping, you'll hear the rules. It's my queen's feedback, is final on how I'm relating with the girls. So I don't have, the husband hypocrisy problem. I don't have that hypocrisy of, oh, this is just like between myself and my queen, so I better be in good behavior with her, but you know, I'll just let that arseholery bad mood out when she's not around and the kids are there. No fucking way. It's actually, it includes your dogs. It includes every sentient fucking being under, like in your fortress, man. Bring them all in. So the known players are your queen, your kids, yourself, and hey, bring in the cats and dogs and whoever else, because you're not allowed in any of this to be an asshole with anybody. So known players, ticked. Fix rules. Maybe it's been clear in what I described thus far. It's for every consecutive day, your queen feels deeply seen, heard, and safe, and kids also. You add one extra day to your tally. For example, six consecutive solid days, she's happy. Your kids are happy. Everybody in the house is happy. You're at six. If you drop into unowned emotional resistance, in brackets, grumpy arsehole mode, without immediate self-regulation or repair, you get yellow carded. I'm taking it from soccer. I played a lot of soccer, football growing up. Yellow card, first warning. Second warning equals a red card. And the consequence is you go back to zero to start again. Now, there's two versions of this. I want to give you two versions. I am at the, you go back to minus your current number. This is like an edge of all edges. The minus your current number rather than going back to zero, I am truly feeling a pressure in it. There's a genius in it. I want to leave one of two options for you, because maybe if you're early, I'm coming to this game with, hey, I've got all the emotional tools, I've got the communication tools, run the podcast, I'm studying this shit 24/7. So I have a toolbox there available to you. If you want to trial it first, I leave it up to you. Like, top number of days, 6 days, you go back to zero. There's a sting in it. And yeah, hey, if you want to go to the minus number, don't do it on a coffee high. Just make this decision grounded. Because if you choose, and I do challenge you to bring this game to your queen, It's an astoundingly powerful trust-building game. So the consequence, you go back to zero to start again, or you go back to minus your current number. The key thing here is, I like yellow card, first warning, second warning, if you don't want to make it sound ridiculous, but it's your queen's feedback is final. And the yellow card, first warning, can be quickly followed with a red card within moments. What that means is you don't get to be an absolute total jackass for 20 minutes and then go, well, you know, that was the yellow card, you know, hey, I've got two slip-ups in my day. It's like, no, if you see in sports, if any of you have watched soccer, soccer is the one that comes to me, but it's like a referee can give a yellow card, and if the player, it has happened, if the player keeps arguing with the ref and shouting abuse at him, hey, you'll see it. A ref just goes in and puts a red card, and then the player is there going, oh, poor me, poor me. It's like, your queen's feedback is final. Again, remember, why is her feedback final? Well, in this movement, in this approach, we have the masculine mantra that your queen's feedback is your spiritual mirror. Spiritual mirror for what? Your state of consciousness, your state of presence, your state of how safe you are in what's happening in your nervous system. And in this, to be clear, it's not about being happy, happy, happy. No, that's like immature good boy mode. This is about owning what's happening inside of yourself and making sure that if you are having a tough moment, you're allowed to have a tough moment. You're allowed to have one of those days, man, that was just a grueling fucking day. You're tired, there's pain, like you're really stretched to your last. But when you, the genius of this game is that you don't practice high tolerance with, you're in one of those moments. You don't have a high tolerance with, I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to fucking slam the door. I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to say hello to everybody. Why? Because you're coming from this entitled, immature boy. I'm just this temperamental teenager. I'm just having a mood, you know, and people read my cues, you know, watch out. The game is fixed. The rules are there that it's not your entitlement interpretation that sets it. It's your queen. She knows within a nanosecond if you're in jack arsehole mode, if you're in grumpy arsehole mode, you're in grumpiness, hard, you're resistant, and you're just wanting to spew that in people. You're not owning anything. She knows within a nanosecond. Number three, the agreed upon objective and endpoint. The objective is you showing up so consistently as a high standards husband that it becomes your natural state of being. Also known as no more Mr. Grumpy Asshole mode. The objective is that. The end point, hey, that's up to you. I'm actually really excited. There's a part of me going, this is like a life project. There's a part of me, hey, young as a tree, I don't know about you, but my masculine core, there's this competitive part. I actually love the gamified aspect of this. I'm on fire. My queen has said, it's like, you know, there have been moments when, oh, there's that grumpiness part, that shadow part, that resentment part, that hard part, old conditioning from childhood where, you know, I sort of learned, hey, a husband can just do whatever the fuck he wants and, you know, everybody's just meant to deal with it. As a man, you're just allowed to do this. Why? Because, you know, that's just part of it. Is it not? You know, like, there's this unquestioned entitlement. You can show up and, as whatever you want, upset your queen, wife, kids, and hey, they're going to love you tomorrow anyway. It's like entitlement is part of the game of life, is it not? No, it's not. Not with when you want to be a real good fucking husband and not being a dickhead dad. The end point, I'm looking at it going, hey, I want to get to thousands. I actually want to have this like as a life project where, you know, I'm going to be at, I don't know how many years it takes, but like 10,000, whatever. Like, oh, baby, I'm at like 15,000, 20,000. Like, here we are, like, fucking on our Zimmer frames, you know, walking off into the sunset. Or, you know, like, I want to be that man. And this game is a wonderful container. Because when you set a game with rules, and like these are simple rules, and you've got that immediate feedback, you've got the referee, and yeah, it seems there can be this edge of, wow, I'm giving my queen that much power. Yeah, you are. Because when you truly want to be a better husband, there's this phrase that, it's not mine, I don't know who the author is that brought it, 99% is a bitch, 100% is a breeze. the setup of this game psychologically sets you up that there are negative consequences. Yeah, it's only a number. But I know, guys, I've burst my ass to get today. You know, I've 18 days consecutive. I've burst my ass. My queen is giving me astounding feedback. I'll share what happened. It's 2 days ago. I've had an experience of asthma for many years. And when it really kicks up, I've had really great results with homeopathy in recent times, but I have to retake some of the treatments. I in the last number of weeks, when I go out and do manual labor, you know, physically intensive stuff, my chest is tending to tighten up. Now, if ever you've had that, you'll know exactly what can happen. Imagine when you're breathing, every breath is a real effort. I was in that state 2 days ago, and I was outside in the yard, and it was sort of shitty, and it was raining, and it was cold. So there was like a physiologically stress of it, and my breathing was kicking up, and it was a real effort to take every breath. When I'm in that moment, my grumpy shadow, my resentment shadow comes through. I am supremely irritable. Literally, anything sets me off in that moment, because again, it's just that inner world experience. Like, taking a breath is a real effort, and it takes me, could be half an hour, 40 minutes. I don't take any medications for it, so it takes me half an hour, 40 minutes to settle back down to relaxed breathing. So I'm coming in, and I can feel this part of me, guys, that part of me and that part of you. We all have this resentment shadow, this gnarly bastard shadow that is just like, you'll just let her have it. I can really feel it live. I step inside the back door. We have this puppy, and it's puppy love. Normally when I come in the back door, I love her. She jumps up and she's licking, and I get down and I cuddle her when I'm in good form. This day, 2 days ago, I come in. I'm like, all that excitement to jumping up against me, I'm just in such a hard tightness in my nervous system. There's a part of me, I just want to fucking plaster her with a kick. I don't, but that impulse is in me. So I could catch a part of me going, this fucking game. I'm like, I was on day 16, 17, whatever. It's like, I'm like, there was a part of me going, this fucking game. God. You know, because that part wanted to just unleash. There was a part of me wanting to just flood into grumpy shit mode. All in that moment, it was like the pressure to practice being conscious. It's like it felt too much. The default conditioning of my past just wanted to flood through. And this is where the genius of the game was. In that moment, and I was really vulnerable, guys, I was struggling. I was feeling like a real struggle, conscious breathing, fucking mindset, trying to catch my thoughts, I was like, oh my God. The game, the thought of, literally it was like, Mark, you're at day, whatever, you're at day 16, just don't let off. Like, minus 16 at this point, dude, like, just don't, come on. So it's like, what can I do now? My queen was in the kitchen. I went over, I was like, baby, I need your help. Like, I'm really worried that this game, I really don't want to go to minus 16. I don't want to slip off, but I just want to tell you now what's happening inside of myself. My chest is tightened up. I'm not happy. I'm really irritable. And there's just this high risk that if I don't catch this now, you know, I'm going to unload on you or the girls. I don't want to, but I'm really struggling now. I need your help. Can you just sit with me? Can you, like, I don't know, tell me nice fucking shit and hug me? I'd love some of that feminine softness. She hugged me, guys, and tears started streaming down her face. I'm like, okay. You know, it's like, I'm not in the position to be so attuned, but I was immediately taken over. It's like, curious, like, wow, baby, I thought it was good what I did. You know, you're crying. It's like, why are you crying? What's happening, baby? She's like, I'm crying because I'm feeling so safe with you now. She's like, since you've started playing this game, she said, Mark, the last 16 days have been a fucking delight to be with you. You have been so beautiful to be with. It's like, I know there's moments that you're not feeling great, but you manage and you generate, you bring enthusiasm. I know there's been moments when you've been tired. Like, you just go beyond the tiredness. You go beyond how you normally did in the past, and you're bringing playfulness. You're owning the stuff. And it's like, right now, it's like, my tears are, you've had this for years, asthma. It's like, and pretty much every single time without fail, when you would have chest tightening, I would have to harden up and I would have to walk in eggshells, and the girls as well, until, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you start settling back down. And it's like, then we get your good self again. It's like, you're a good man. But there have been hundreds and thousands of windows when everybody in the house, from the dogs, cats, to girls and me, we're not feeling safe. So that you have come in, and because you're playing this game, you actually just bring a softness in the middle. It's like, I see you're suffering. Guys, the beautiful thing was, it's like me playing the game and leaning in and literally saying, I'm playing this game, baby. I want to be a good husband. It's just so hard. Now, it's like a river of compassion and understanding came from Matilda, because she could see me in my struggle. She explicitly went, I see you're working so hard. This must be really hard for you. And it's like, I teared up. It's like she went to ultra high levels of supportiveness, of encouragement, of acknowledgement. You know, in this movement, I say, you know, inspire, don't require. Don't require them to validate you. Don't require them to support you. Don't require, because why? Be a self-sufficient man. But the game and me leaning in so powerfully with it, I was at my edge, guys, I'm telling you. Like, asshole mode was like, the gunpowder was there. It's like the fuse was a nanometer long. Fuse to explosion, lit fuse to explosion was really, really short. Because of the game, my queen was crying. And hey, I wrote it out, got a hug from her, couple of minutes. On my need, it's like, baby, I know there's a ton of things to do around the house now. It's like, we're in evening mode. It's like, I just want to sit at the table. I'm going to read a book. And when I feel better and more resourced, I'll come and I'll catch up with whatever. So guys, 20 minutes, half an hour later, I've read my book. I'm feeling soft. And we have an epic evening. The game is what is supporting me so much, guys. I still have entitlement conditioning in me. I've done a ton of work. My mindset, my nervous system interprets life infinitely better. But I'm human and you're human. I actively challenge you all to deeply reflect upon this episode and consider playing the game. Bring it to your queen. Bring the idea. Suggest it. Listen to the episode together. You know, reflect upon it. Coffee high or no coffee high, reflect upon it. This is a really vulnerable game, and yet it's astoundingly supportive. It's the ultimate trusting your queen, that her feedback, she's your greatest supporter in life. You know, within a nanosecond, and I say this again and again, within a nanosecond, she knows your state of consciousness or not. From the entitlement perspective, we find that deeply threatening. We don't like it, because it's like we have this Mr. Nice Guy persona, and she's like one of you, herself, and if you're honest, your kids, they're the people that can pierce through your bullshit. You know, we do this persona-based living. You know, the nice guy, oh, he's such a sound, solid guy. Oh, he's generous. Oh, he's like a smile on the face. Oh, he's a joke. You're that guy at work. But you can do that because you go in at 9, you're home at 5, you know, you can fuck off to your cubicle at times and whatever. You might be able to write it out. Persona-based, superficial I've got my shit sorted. All is fine on this ship. You can't do that. You cannot last. It takes infinitely too much energy to try and pull that off with your queen. She sees you at your most vulnerable. She sees you in those days when you're tired, grumpy, financial stresses. She knows all of that is going on. This game really sets it up that you can say, baby, I want to be a better husband, a better dad. Not to be a good boy. Not to have, a permanent smile on your face. No, it's a mature... This game is accessing that part of you. And I fucking know it's there, guys. It's the only reason you listen into this podcast. Is it not true that there's a part of you knows there's infinitely more available to you in this human experience? It's true, I believe. And every single guy that I've done this with in circle or one-on-one, when I lock in and go, you know, man, there's a part of you that has dreamed of something greater for you. That there's a part of you knows there's infinitely more potential in you. And part of your struggle in life is you just don't know how to bring that out. And the key one is, and this is where a lot of guys will tear up. You know, it's like guys that they come in, I don't know how to do emotions, and they're hard-lined, and it's like, I need to fix my marriage because she's going to divorce me. And they claim there's no emotion. And I say something like this. The percentage of guys that tear up with this is like, hey, man, I see in you that there's a core that you're deeply sensitive, and your greatest pain in life is you know you are love. And your greatest pain is knowing that you are love, and that you yearn to love the world, yourself, your queen, your kids. Your greatest pain is you don't know how to express that infinite ocean of love that you have for this beautiful woman. You don't know how to transmit that love out through all the conditioning of your nervous system from life beating you up previously and have it land for her in a way that she softens and smiles for you. Most guys tear up when I say that. It mightn't happen you now. Maybe it is happening you now. We are born knowing we are infinite love. The greatest masculine challenge in this life, the masculine core in you and every man, is this deep-seated, soulful, heart-centered yearning to embody radical freedom. The immature version of that is you only seek to express this embodied freedom by getting the fuck off from work. God damn, home. What a pressure cooker. You feel the freedom when you go off with the guys at the weekend. You feel the freedom when you have a sporting endeavor, and you don't feel freer when you're driving a car around the track, or you're doing the motocross, or you're doing mountain bike cycling or climbing. That's your freedom. And all of these are sacred. You seek freedom in the limitless, you know, economy that's out there and making money, etc. They're all super cool, but they're secondary. The greatest freedom you're seeking, and we're all seeking, all the mystical traditions point to this, peak performance psychology points to it. The greatest state of flow is when you, in your nervous system, are beaming out love. Love of yourself, love of life, open-hearted, in flow, flowing love to your queen in a way that just lights her up, flowing love that your kids lit up. You're on fire. There is nothing greater for a man who is in marriage than that feeling that you have finally cracked the code and you're beaming out love, and those nearest and dearest around you are lit up, are inspired, are feeling safe. They're coming to you. Your body is transmitting a message that is evoking this response, that they're just like surrendering and soft, and you're bringing out their best, and you know you're like this conductor of the orchestra. The magic is happening because your body is finally transmitting a message that's evoking this consistent response of limitless love and enthusiasm and health and expression. And That's fucking peak Forrest. Go beyond bullshit conditioning that the only realm and role that man has in society is to be a profit-building, productive person that, you know, brings home money to build a house and home around and put food on the table. It's tragic, the conditioning we've been put on. The truth is, inside of you, it's limitless love. That's your greatest yearning. You will find this. This all lines up in your deathbed. What's most meaningful on your deathbed? You know, let's say that you come in slowly to landing old age and you're in your final days, final weeks, and you're reflecting a lot about your life. All the external stuff? Yeah, it's cool. You'll have had cool memories. They will sustain you a little bit for a couple of seconds here and there. The real pot of gold in this life is looking back and having people that know you and love you in those final days, those final hours, those final weeks. And there's tears, but there's tears of joy. They're looking at one of the greatest men. I'm tearing up, guys. I'm fucking tearing up here. It's what we all yearn. And very few people are talking to this. Because we don't know how, and we haven't been taught. This game, I thoroughly believe in it. It has been one of the most powerful things I have done. I'm on day fucking 19 of 18 successful days behind. I'm not fucking backing off. My challenge is, who's with me? Who's with me? And by going all in on this, 99% is a bitch, 100% is a breeze. By setting the game up like this, bringing it to your queen, it's then put to you that you will have to do whatever is necessary to ride out the tough moments. You will have to do whatever is necessary to prepare yourself for the flow of love. So like getting out jogging, your meditation, your journaling. Yeah, when I do that, my day tends to go better. When I do like, you know, 20 gratitude things. Yeah, I do that for a couple of days. Things go better. You do the things that make you feel better. You don't skip the nap. You get a good night's sleep. You don't faff around at night watching bullshit going, oh, fuck, you know, I'm going off to bed late. Because you know, hey, the difference between 8 hours sleep and, you know, 5.5 hours sleep because you watch 4 episodes extra on Netflix, it makes a major difference to the type of man you're going to show up as being the next day. When you play this game, you've now got the rule set that it's like from first moment in the morning, you know, the whistle has went. The game is on. You don't get a moment where, hey, there's no ref. There's no consequences. No. First moment out of bed to later on going to bed, the game is on. It's a pressure cooker that is designed to bring out your fucking best. And what is more powerful as a man to set up a game around supporting you bring out your best and supporting your queen being the human there to bring it. Part of this game that's so beautiful is my queen, we laugh about it. I like literally as being a pressure moment, I'm like, oh baby, I'm sorry. God, I don't want to go back to minus like 6. I don't want to go back to minus 12. Oh God, I'm sorry. And like I've only done a tiny little infraction, but I'm saying it. And she's like, yeah. And she laugh. She's like, hey, you're really floating close to a yellow card, dude. It seems like you want to go to minus 13. And I bring humor to it. She brings humor. She's never felt safer with her feedback. And predominantly, she doesn't need to give me feedback because I'm playing the game. But she'll sincerely, there's been a couple of moments when she's like, hey, Mark, you know, I'm playing this game too. And I snap back to order. It's exhilarating, guys. I want you to experience the joy and the bliss and the enthusiasm and your unique, perfect version of what I'm experiencing as a family man. I truly do. Going, when I contrast this and how my queen is showing up and my kids are showing up and how I'm feeling as myself, hey, as a result of lots of things I've done, but this game is really like next level for me. When I contrast this back to how desperate I felt and lonely I felt and such a failure I felt 5 or 6 years ago, and on top of that, recognizing the levels of hopelessness that my queen was experiencing and the traumas causing my kids and that, getting my shit together. The contrast is astounding. I'm so happy and it's onwards and upwards. It's the infinite game. I really want that for you. I can't do the work for you, but I believe this game will help you show up better than ever before. If you would like to be part of an astoundingly powerful culture that will support you in playing this game, the high standards heroic husband game, to learn the tools necessary to make this game like a dead cert you can win every single day and be on that infinite upward expansive game, well, check the podcast description notes. There's the link to Heroic Husbands Movement. There's epic shit happening there, and you will have some of the most powerful men on the planet, regular men like you, that are showing up every day playing this game, playing the expansive game. They will have every single bit of challenge, of love, of encouragement, of advice necessary to have you reach that next level and be that marriage transforming hero and that embodiment of infinite love that you were born to be. In perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.